to get this started, just to let y'all know what it's like to be in front of a group of your peers and women. This morning I was getting ready, and of course I was trying to pace myself and not get too excited and all that kind of stuff. Oh, excuse me. That wasn't me, by the way. But I was getting ready to put my top on. Well, my little nightie was the same color. So I went over there, and without taking that off, I put my top on, and I thought, this feels kind of fluffy. And so it dawned on me, I still had my nightie on with my top over the top of it. And I thought, Danny said, boy, honey, you are nervous. Well, you would be nervous too, but anyway, that's okay. I am so thrilled to see all of you here today. And what excites me to death is I see lots of young women too. And that tickles me in my heart of hearts. Because you're here because either you're thinking about becoming a pastor's wife, or you are one and you're wondering, what in the world am I doing here? But anyway, I'm thrilled that you're here with us today. One of the things that I want you to know is I have been praying for you for several months. I had no idea who would come to the seminar, whether it would be 2 or 20. And I am so excited to see this many here. But I prayed that whoever was here, I know you're supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to be here. So together we are sharing today from our hearts what God wants to do with Free Will Baptist pastor's wives. And I'm going to share with you my experience as a pastor's wife. And I can't believe how long I've been doing this. Kind of what makes me want to giggle. But anyway, what you have in your little gift bag today is not much. But I want you to know it's personal. I have a new daughter-in-law. And she made, with her own hands, your lavender soaps. And so that's what we're giving to you. We are supposed to give off a sweet-smelling savor as a Christian, and especially as a pastor's wife. So I hope that will be a reminder to you. Also in there is a piece of paper. It's a pen. And let's see, what else is in there? A chocolate, of course. And anything else?
Recommended reading.
Recommended reading. There you go. Y'all are with me, aren't you? So anyway, what I want you to do with the paper that's in there as we go along, I want to get some suggestions from you. We're going to start a Zoom call in September with pastor's wives. You need to write down your name if you want to participate. Write down your name, address, phone number, and email address. That way you can get to participate with the Zoom call. Also, I want to be calling you. So I want your name. Don't we feel special when somebody gives us a call? Just out of the clear blue, and they say, you know, I've been thinking about you. I want us to keep in contact with each other. And if you meet a pastor's wife here at the National that you have not met before, then it would be so encouraging to her if you would get their phone number and that you would call them as well. So meet somebody today in here that you don't know, get their name, their phone number, and y'all stay in contact with each other for at least 6 months. And then maybe by then you've met somebody else that you can be calling, okay? Also, on that piece of paper, the Zoom call, Brother Eddie is calling Pastor's Wives Hangout. Well, that sounded a little old to me. Not that I'm old, but if you have a cute name that you think would be, you know, fun, then just write that on there. I'll know what it is. So, suggestions for the Zoom calls, all right? Now, if you don't put your name and address, phone number, and email on this today, please go by the National Executive Booth and do that there. So we'll be, in other words, I want to be connected with you. I want to be able to help you in any way that I can. Well, today we're going to be talking about two big areas: the realities and the rewards of being a pastor's wife. There are so many areas that we could address. I mean, you know what they are. You could tell me in a minute the hardest things and the most fun things and the difficult things, but I'm going to tell you what mine are today and some of what many of you have suggested to me. I've selected three realities for us to consider: the spiritual realities of being a pastor's wife is one of the most important things that you can get nailed down. It doesn't matter what age you are. Your spiritual reality as a pastor's wife is very, very important. And I'm going to be telling you some basic things today, but these are things that have been with me for many years, and they have helped me no matter what I've been going through. And you're going to need these. Many of you already know them, but I'm going to remind you of them as well. The first spiritual reality I want us to talk about is our calling. I don't know how you became a pastor's wife. Many of you probably went to college, and the Lord was working in your heart, and you thought, well, that would be neat to be a pastor's wife. And many of you might say, well, I'm not going to date anybody that's not a pastor then. If I'm supposed to be a pastor's wife, then, you know, that's what I'm going to focus on. So you set your eyes for that guy who is going to be a pastor. And you wouldn't date anybody else because you knew that was God's calling for your life. Or you felt it was. It was the desire of your heart to become a pastor's wife. And that's fine, and that's good. But you know what? You're not a pastor's wife until you have married a what? A pastor. Okay, that's where I come in. I had no clue what was going on in Danny's life. We had gotten our lives right with the Lord, and we were doing our best to serve Him. And we were living with my parents. I'm 73. We got married young. We were living with my parents for about 6 months after we first got married. And so Danny is working. I'm a stay-at-home mom at the time. A stay-at-home person. I wasn't a mom at the time. But anyway. he came home from work one day. And he said, he just walked in the door. No hello kiss, no, you know, whatever. And so Mom and I were standing there waiting for him to come home. And he announced abruptly, well, I have something to tell you. And I said, okay. He said, I believe God wants me to preach. And Mother was elated. She had been praying about that for a long, long time. And, well, I was totally shocked. He had not told me anything about the Lord dealing with him as far as being called to preach. So you know what I did? I said, oh, no! And ran to our bedroom. Now, we were already married. I don't believe in divorce. Aren't you glad to hear that? But anyway, you know what? I went to my room just boo-hooing, boo-hooing. I can't be a pastor's wife. You know, you have your perception in your mind about what a pastor's wife is. And boy, they were way up here as far as I was concerned. And I was way down here. But anyway, I had surrendered my life to the Lord in salvation. I was trying my best to do His will. And so I'm thinking to myself, God wouldn't call him if he hadn't called me, because who's the head of the family? Who's the head of the family? All right, y'all got to come in here with me now. So the husband is the head of the family. So what am I saying, girls? I'm saying if your husband has been called to preach, you have been called to be a pastor's wife. God knows that. He has chosen you to be a pastor's wife. What greater honor could there ever be? Not that we know what we're supposed to be doing, but we can learn. We can absolutely learn what God wants us to do. I had no clue about the verses I would need for this or that or whatever. But you know what? I knew that God knew them. He knew that I could learn them. And so it's been a process of growth through my experience of being called as a pastor's wife. And so my question to you is, did anybody else begin the way I did? Oh, I knew it. I knew I wasn't the only one. Now let me ask you, if you'll be honest, how many of you were absolutely thrilled and with it when your husband was called after you were married? I cried. I knew I wasn't the only one. Now, on the opposite side, how many of you felt the Lord wanted you to be a pastor's wife before you got married? Okay, just a few. And that doesn't include everybody, y'all. So what's up with how many of you were thrilled when you found out your husband was going to be a pastor? Okay, all right, that's great. Absolutely. So you see, we come from all walks of life. We come into this with different ideas. Some have had preparation through college and whatever, and some have had preparation through hard knocks. And that's where I come in, through the hard knocks. But anyway, God is good. And it's been over 50 years now with me serving as a pastor's wife. I am 73, and I have found out that it's just not one time that you surrender your will to God. Like when I got my heart right with God as a young person and thought I had surrendered my will to His, that wasn't the only time I had to surrender. I had to surrender when Danny answered the call to preach. And after that, he changed on me. You know what he did? He said, I'm not going to be a pastor anymore. And I said, what? After all this, and you're not going to be a pastor anymore? We're going to go teach at Southeastern Free Will Baptist College. And I was like, oh my goodness. Now, I was still in my 30s, okay? So here was a big change again. And you know what I was going to have to do? I was going to be the administrative secretary to Dr. Joe Ainge. Do y'all know how much I respected Dr. Joe Ainge? Oh, I thought he hung the moon. I thought he was an apostle. I was scared to death, you know? But he was the nicest thing, and he made me feel so comfortable. So here we go, from God calling us through our husbands to be a pastor's wife. Life may change. And you may be asked to do something different for a time. And then life may change again, and you'll go a different way. But it's all in the will of God. And that is what's so exciting to me. So there are many surrenders that we make in following God's will as a pastor's wife. So what am I saying? Your husband's calling is your calling. And unless you accept that, you are going to be most miserable. You're going to always be, well, he was called, I wasn't. That's not true. If he is called, you are called. So I want to say, embrace it. Embrace it with your whole heart. So he has chosen you. God has chosen you. And that should give you great confidence. Not only has he chosen you, he has gifted you with what you need in order to be that pastor's wife. Find out what those gifts are. And you probably take a mini test. I've taken many tests, and I finally think I know what what I'm supposed to do. But anyway, bring honor and glory to his name through your calling as a pastor's wife. But you know what? Being a pastor's wife is not the most important thing. Living as God's child and handling circumstances in a way that's pleasing to him, Jesus Christ, is what really matters. He is the one to please. And this leads me to even a deeper part of our realities. Putting God first is our number one priority. Deuteronomy 6:5 says this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart." If we're going to know what we need to know and be what we need to be, we're going to have to walk with God on a daily basis. Now, I want to ask you this, but I know it firsthand. How many of you start walking with God on a daily basis and within 2 weeks you're not doing it anymore? That's reality. We get so distracted. And the older I get, the more distracted I get, you know? But I have to come back to my priority. My priority is to walk today with Jesus Christ, my Savior. I have to just do that today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here yet. We don't know that it's coming. So walk with God today. It affects everything that we do. It affects all of your relationships. Think about it. How you are with the Lord and in your walk with Him affects your husband. It affects your children. It affects your extended family. It affects your church, your walk with God. And if it's so important, why in the world do we not do it? I mean, really, that's our priority. Walking with God one day at a time. You don't have to think about 10 years down the road. You don't have to think a month in advance. You just have to think about today. Today, I will walk with God. Today, I will do what He wants me to do. Today, I will be happy in abiding in Him. So that's our daily walk with God. And then I want you to be well aware that Satan is going to hinder you. He's going to do his best to get you not to walk with God. Because you know what that'll do? That'll make you less than what you're supposed to be as far as God's child is concerned. And as far as an example is concerned, he is trying to get you to fail so that your family will fail. This is such a big thing, and I don't know that I can emphasize it too much, but your daily walk with God has to be. Know that Satan is going to target you as far as that's concerned. So we have this one day to live in close relationship with God. So I say, set that as your goal. No matter what else happens during the day, then let that be your goal. Today, I am going to walk with God. You're going to start in the morning when you get up, and you'll continue it until you lie down at night. And then he's going to take care of everything while you're lying down. So it's all good. Next, the pastor's wife needs to be a suitable helper for her husband in all the stages of life. And boy, do we have stages of life. We do. Some of you have little children running around, and that is such a busy, busy time for you. And lots of us, I have grown children. And I have 7 grandchildren. I have 2 in heaven and 5 other grown grandchildren. I have 2 that are not married yet. And they are cuties too, if you know any cute girls. Yeah, they're great, great kids. But anyway, life has changes for us. The empty nest. Danny and I laugh and say, I had heard years ago this woman say, oh, all the kids are gone, and she was just whining and carrying on, and I thought, oh my goodness, that must be horrible. And I had this fear in my mind that when the kids were gone, I was in for it. It was going to be so terrible because of what she said. Well, you know what? It took us only about maybe 10 days that we discovered each other again. And then it was lots and lots of fun, and has been ever since. Danny and I have decided, of course, we had a wreck about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that really set us back for a while. But we have decided we're going to celebrate every time we have a chance to celebrate something. I don't care what it is. If it's going out, our dates on Friday nights, we've done this for years. Now, in this season of life, we leave home about 3 o'clock. We might go to a thrift store, to Lowe's, and then he'll take me out for a nice dinner, and we're home by 7. That works good for us, but we're still going at it. So I love that part. But let's see. So we're going to abide in him and be a suitable helper. Thinking about that, there are 4 things under being a suitable helper I want to remind you of. God's love for us is never going to change. His love for you is unconditional. Every morning you wake up to walk with him, his love is renewed to us all the time. He loves you unconditionally. It says in Isaiah 19:15, can a woman forget her suckling child? Now, girls, can they? You don't think so? Look around you today. What's happening with women and their children? I mean, be aware. Women can forget their child. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they were more concerned, we heard, they were more concerned about their physical appearance than the baby that they were carrying. They wanted to have something physical done after they had the baby, and they put the baby up for adoption. They put the baby up for adoption. Does that ring bells? Do you know somebody who wants a baby so badly? Check out adoption. check out adoption. God loves us with an everlasting love. But women can forget their suckling child. But you know what God says? I can't. He's not going to forget where you are and what's going on in your life. He has you engraved on His hand. That's what it says. You are graven, and I think of a tattoo. I don't have a tattoo. Now you may, but I'm sure it's a cute little butterfly somewhere that you can't see. But not too long ago, Danny and I were going to celebrate. So we had not had a chance to do anything major together, alone, since our accident. And so I'd always heard about Sanibel Island. So he was going to take me to Sanibel Island, and I was so pumped. I mean, I went to Walmart and bought him a cute little Hawaiian-looking shirt. He didn't like that shirt. But he looked so cute in it. And he says, I don't want to look cute. But I said, I want you to look cute. And you know, it's all about me. It's not about me. But anyway, he did wear that shirt while we were there. So he was going to take me to Sanibel Island. Oh my goodness. It's just what we needed. You know what it is. You go and 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 then you're gone. That's true. I mean, if you don't stop, you're going to wear out. You're going to burn out. So he took me on this trip. So we get to Sanibel Island and we find out that the turtles are time for nesting. So these big sea turtles are coming in from the what is that water out there? Ocean. Ah. Y'all are good. Coming in from the ocean. And we are made aware really quick that if you run over a turtle, you get fined $500. Well, we didn't figure that into our budget, so we were very careful about the turtles. But you know what? You know what else? You had to be sure your lights were turned off on the outside next to the ocean so it wouldn't confuse the turtles. You might get a fine for that too. So we care more about the turtles than we do about the babies, don't we? Yeah, we do. But anyway, we took this trip. And Danny was thanking the church when we got back for allowing us to be gone and all that kind of stuff. You know, pastors don't want to be gone more than one Sunday. I have you to know, we were gone too. But anyway, he was laughing and telling the church that we decided we'd get tattoos while we're on Sanibel Island. Well, our young people thought that was hilarious. So they were going to go to a youth conference in Florida the week after that, sponsors and all that. I was disappointed I didn't go. They didn't even ask me. I guess it's because it's my age. But anyway, they went to this conference and had a great time. And we get a call one day. And it's a video call where we can see what's going on. And so here are all our sponsors and our young people in the mall in Jacksonville, and they're all holding their arms up like this, and guess what they have? Every one of them. Turtle tattoos. Don't you know their parents were so proud of them? They were artificial. They were hemp tattoos. How many of you have one of those? No. Okay. Well, unbeknownst to the teens and the other sponsors, one of the sponsors sent us tattoos in the mail so that we could wear them the following Sunday. So we get to church and we're so excited because I'm so excited. Danny is not excited. He said, you mean we're supposed to wear these? I said, yeah, absolutely. So we've got our little tattoos on, and I'm the one that's going around saying, oh, how was your trip? You know, all this. What did y'all do? Did y'all have a good time? And they said, look, Miss Carolyn, look what we got. And so they hold out their all their tattoos. And I said, oh, really? Look at mine. And they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. But anyway, so Danny and I have tattoos, or had tattoos, let's put it that way. But you know what? God's etching on his hand is a lot more blessed than ever having a little tattoo anywhere on ourselves. It tells me he loves me, that he's never going to forget me. He's never going to forget you or your circumstances. Then, be aware, he's always in control. You forget, he's in control. I forget, he's in control. Being in Christian ministry does not mean we are not going to have serious issues happen in our life. There's going to be testings, temptations, family struggles, serious illness, church turmoil, financial problems, suffering through satanic attacks. But every time something like that comes along, you need to remember Jeremiah 33:11. I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And that expected end is you being conformed to the image of his Son through whatever it takes to get you to that point. God has a purpose in our struggles, every one of them, and he's helping us. I know some of those struggles. I know what it's like to suffer from a chemical imbalance and to think you don't have enough faith or something, or you wouldn't be going through these struggles. You know, you hear these lies out there that will tell you you just don't have enough faith if you're sick, or if you have emotional issues, or if you have a chemical imbalance, or if your family is going through hardship. You just don't have enough faith. But that's not true. God is in control of all the issues that we face. I know what it's like to have a daughter that's being stalked when they are a young married woman. Have you run across people like that? Maybe a woman in your church who is going through that issue. She may be a single mom. She may be a young person. She may be a college student. But she's being stalked and she's living in fear all of the time. And it affects the whole family. Our youngest daughter, we were in revival with Randy Wright at our church when we were in Florence. And Sarah had just gotten married not too many months before that. And she was living in Florida. And her husband was in the military. And she began to notice this guy would just appear sometimes outside their apartment. And so she did, you know, you don't, if you see him once or twice, you don't think that, well, maybe he's a neighborhood guy, you know, and I just haven't noticed him before. Be aware, ladies, of your surroundings and your circumstances. And one night her husband was at work, like, I can't remember if it was 3 on and 2 off because he was in military, fire department. But one night while he was at work, she woke up to a man standing over her bed in that apartment. They had a deadbolt lock on, but he had managed to get in. And it's a good thing she had been a teenager. When she was a teenager, she was a cheerleader. So she screamed bloody murder. And somehow it scared him enough, I believe it was a God thing, that it scared him and he ran out. So that wasn't the end. She called us. That was the week we were having revival. So what do you think that does to the pastor's family when this is going on with our youngest daughter in Florida? Well, I feel like I have to go. You know, she's down there. She needs our help. And Brother Randy, of course, we've known him for years. Oh, well, he's gone to heaven now. But we had known him for years, and he understood quite well. But be aware. There are people in your congregations who struggle with fear because of things that have happened in the past. And it may take them years to get over it, or they may not get over it. But you are there to encourage them and to help them and to get them in contact perhaps with someone who can help them. So we know what it's like to have a daughter who's stalked. We know what it's like to have lost two grandchildren, one prematurely, and then one was accidentally shot by his brother when he was 6 years old. We know what that's like. I would never want any of those things to happen to any of your families, but they do. And we think it'll never happen to us. It'll never happen to me, but it might. So what are you going to do? You're going to remember that God loves you. He has not forgotten you. He is still in control. And I must trust Him with everything that's going on. Talking about satanic attack. See, you've lived for God all these years, and look what's happened to your family. That's what He says. That's what He said when Matthew died. How can you trust God? See what happened to you? And that's just the way he talks. That's what He says to us. But you know what? God's word rang true in my heart because I had hid God's word in my heart. And you must do the same. That's the reason you are to walk daily with God, or you will not know what it's like to be stable when you have to go through difficult times. So God is in control, and He's always going to supply your needs. These are all so basic, but I declare it takes us years to learn it. I mean, to learn it and embrace it and hold it true in our hearts. I love this verse, and I hope you get from it what I get from it. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3 says, "Grace and peace..." Now listen, "grace and peace be multiplied." Okay, what I'm getting from that is that grace and peace is going to increase. Is that what you get? "It's going to increase unto you," listen, "through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." So how is that grace and peace going to come? It's going to come through our walk with God and getting to know Him. And then it goes on to say, "according as His divine power hath given unto us," what? "All things that pertain to life and godliness." So what we need is found in Jesus Christ. And it's going to be multiplied the more we know about Him. And that just makes me happy. It does. It gives me such confidence because I know that I can trust Him and He's going to supply all my needs that I have as far as just everyday needs and godliness. One other verse I want to remind you of. I learned this from Maxine Wagner. You may never have heard her name, but she was one of the pastor's wives that I had. She used to sing, and she said this one Sunday morning. She quoted a verse, and I was probably 20 years old. Psalm 4:1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now, I usually get enlarged. I was a little fluffy this morning. But I usually get enlarged when I eat more than I need to, right? But this is saying, Lord, you will make me big enough to handle whatever circumstance that I face. And I thought, wow, that is such an awesome verse for me to remember. And I have never forgotten it. You know, that's the way God is. He gives you little tidbits along the way from other people that will encourage you, that will help you to become stable as His child. Thou hast enlarged me. And then God is going to be with you all the time. I don't care where you are. Timbuktu, Alabama, in the cold country of Alaska, across the seas, wherever you are, God's going to be with you. And the Holy Spirit lives within us to teach us all truth. But you know what? We have to apply that truth or we'll not hang on to the truth. So the scripture can help you to be a loving wife to your husband. 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you how to be a loving wife. And I think sometime Danny will say to me, or I will say to him, I don't know how to love you more. You know? I know you do nice things for each other and all that kind of stuff, but learning to love each other more. Well, the scripture tells us, and if we could just control our mouths sometime, that would be one way. That would be one way. It tells you how to be a loving mother to your children. It tells you how to be a loving pastor's wife. 1 Corinthians 13, absorb that into your life and incorporate that so that you can be a gifted asset in ministry. Second big topic here, ministry is hard. Ministry is hard. Now, these realities I have gotten from different people. I have done my own little surveys. People I run into, or maybe I've called you or something and asked you, what do you enjoy about ministry, or what is hard about ministry? And so I've gotten these from other women just like you. Number one on my list was, it was hard for me to learn to be myself. I don't know if it was the time period that I was growing up in or what, but you felt like you were being looked at all the time. It felt like you had to measure up to this standard. Well, I knew I didn't measure up to anybody's standard. You know, I wanted to be like so-and-so. And they might have had some characteristics that I thought were really great. Or Miss So-and-so. Lorraine Miley. I didn't have anybody, you know, way up on the stick, but she was way up on the stick. Is it hard for you to be yourself? Honestly, you are seeing me as myself today. It took me 15 years to become myself as a pastor's wife. I went to a church that was very strict. at different points in our ministry or attended. And there were some of the most depressed people in that church that I have ever seen. So who wants to be depressed? I don't. Oh, she wants to be depressed. Okay, girls, we're not going to get through. Ministry is hard. Be yourself. Who are you trying to please? Who's the number one person you're trying to please? God. Be yourself. He made you. You are unique, one of a kind. You don't have to be like anybody else. You are made by God, and you are fine as you learn what He wants you to become. But keep learning what He wants you to become. I'm going to have to stop. And we're not through. My husband said I wouldn't get through. But you know what? You've got the basics, right? And these things I told you before that you already know. But one thing I want to remind you of is you know your calling. Embrace your calling. God is for you. He loves you at all times. He's in control of all the circumstances that you're going to face. He is using them to bring you to a point of maturity that you need to follow Him in. He's going to always supply your needs, and He's going to be with you at all times. And He's going to be with you in the hard times that we didn't cover, but that we can cover through our Zoom calls or whatever. Don't forget to write on your paper your name, address, phone number, and email if you want to be part of the Zoom call. Write your phone number only and your name if you would enjoy talking with me sometime. And let me tell you, you can call me about anything. And I'll tell you up front, I'm not going to know the answer to everything. But if I don't, I have a source for help. And I will try to find out and give you a call back. But I would love your comments on what you would like to hear talked about on these Zoom calls, or if we go to podcasts in the future, or whatever we do. So if you'll do that, hand those back to Jennifer. Where are you, Jennifer? Okay, and Beth McComas, as you leave, as you use your little soap, pray for me. I need your prayers with this new ministry that we are embarking on. And I look forward to hearing from each one of you.